This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
I'm Saram to our listeners. Welcome to Saturday News number
1138.
Today we'll be hearing talks given on the day of Onam. As you know, Onam, the most cultural festivals of the South Indian state of Kerala. The Onam festivities at Prasanthi Nilayam have a unique charm of their own. The entire Sai family from the state of Kerala gathers at Prasanthi to celebrate the festival in the presence of the Divine Master, Sri Sita Sai Baba. The sacred day marks the occasion mighty Emperor Bali performed the supreme act of surrender to Lord Vanama, the avatar of the Lord Vishnu. The legend goes that Lord Vanama, disguised as a Brahmin, asked Bali for just 3 steps of the land. His first 2 steps covered the earth and the heavens. And Bali, who would never go back on his word, offered his own head to the Lord to place his feet on, and thus attained liberation. However, he prayed to Lord Vanama for one last boon. Once every year, the Emperor Bali wished to see his beloved subjects. This day, when Emperor Mahabali comes to visit his people, he celebrated as Onam by the people of Kerala. So I am Gulab Limoria, and I offer my most loving and humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan, Sri Sita Sai Baba. So let's have a Ganesh Bhajan, and then we'll hear a talk given on the day of Onam.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka.
Gauri Ganesha Vinayaka.
Gauri Ganesha.
Shri Ganesha Vinayaka.
Graciously blessed a senior devotee, a senior official from Kerala to address us. Sri Jaikumar IAS is the additional chief secretary and he is also in charge of the Home Department. Whatever may be the political color of the government, we could see that Jaikumar sir will be always having a number of responsibilities. The list is very exhaustive. It is very, so many responsibilities will be entrusted to him. Even now, he has got the responsibility of Interstate Water Commission. He has got the responsibility with Sri Padmanabha Swami Temple. He has got the responsibility with the Sabarimala activities. So you can see that as a devotee of Bhagawan, always he is having a number of responsibilities which he is rendering for the people of Kerala with sincerity and with all qualities that Bhagawan is advising us to have. Now I request Jaikumar sir to address us. Jai Sai Ram.
Pranams to Bhagawan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, respected elders and my sisters and brothers. This is not the first time that I have been given an opportunity to talk from here during Onam celebrations. I have done it earlier, I think on two or three occasions, but this occasion when we are meeting here to celebrate Onam is different from our earlier occasions, as all of us know. We miss the physical form of Swami. However much we understand the futility of grieving, however much we know that Mahasamadhi is only a change of apparels, but in the emotional frame of our hearts, all of us miss our most beloved Swami. But it also teaches us the myth of sunset. Every evening the sun sets. When we are small children, or when humanity itself was in its infancy, the darkness that comes after sunset was a source of fear. But today we know that sun doesn't set. We only change position to move away from the sun and there is darkness. The sun never sets. So Swami, by his Mahasamadhi, has only demonstrated the lesson that sun never sets. It only disappears for a while. And moreover, to grieve the Mahasamadhi or disappearance of Swami would also mean that we have not understood Swami. So it is, when I stand here, my mind is like a sky where there is the most luminous sun present there, but one part of the sky is clouded with some sorrow. But the sun will shine and the sorrow should go. So that is the kind of mind that I have today, like most of you who are here. We know that Swami is beyond physical form, but it is also a fact that we loved and adored that physical form when he was with us. But actually the Digvijaya, phase two of the Digvijaya of Swami's thought, Swami's compassion will emanate from this place, from this hallowed spot. Digvijaya phase two has to commence. One is forced to ask this question, who was Swami for us? Who was he? We know that he is eternal truth, Satya, in human form. Eternal truth, by very definition, is beyond destruction. It cannot be destroyed. It is Satya, the truth, but it took a human form for our satisfaction. It is infinity. Swami is infinity, but which took the form of a human body. Captured in the human body, captured in the span of a life, is infinity and eternity. That is where he came from. And through the Mahasamadhi, Swami has gone back to the world of infinity and eternity, where there nothing begins and nothing ends. It is infinite. So he embodied infinity for our benefit. In a finite form, he embodied infinity, and that is the beauty of Swami. With his luminous life, what did he tell us? He told us many things. Sometimes we forget what he said. But with his luminous life, he showed us one thing. He showed us what is possible with human life. I think if there is one message that should abide all other messages, or it should be with us all the time, that is this message. He showed us what is possible with human life. That is why he always said, my life is my message. We only have to read that message. And how do we read the message? By just looking at what Swami did with his own life. He is fond of saying, life is a challenge, meet it. Of course, all of us have challenges in our lives, but the style in which we meet this challenge is different. Life is an opportunity, we have to seize it. But seize for what? For our own selfish goods, selfish good, selfish welfare? Is it a challenge that we should meet so that we always succeed? No. That is a subtle distinction where we have to go back to understand the manner in which Swami experienced life, how he lived. He demonstrated what is the potential of human life. And that is divinity, the full divinity, divine potential of human life. It is possible to explore it. It is possible to experience it. It is possible to manifest it. And he has manifested it for all of us to see till the very last moment. And during his luminous life, Swami was generosity embodied. He gave us abundance of love. He was never miserly with anything. He gave us abundance of love. He gave us wealth of compassion. It was not stingy compassion. It was wealth of compassion. He gave us the treasure of his grace. All of us who sit here in this hallowed spot have experienced in our lives how Swami's compassion has touched us in its abundance in times of crisis. We only have to think about him. We only have to send a message through our mind, and there is Swami reaching out to us. As he says, you take one step towards me, I will take 100 steps towards you. He reaches to you with his abundance of compassion. It is not little bit of compassion he gives. Abundance, generosity, wealth, treasure. These are the words we associate with Swami's love and benevolence. So that is what he did with his life. That is what he demonstrated with his life. Life is an opportunity for this compassion, for his generosity, for the abundance of love. Now it is time for us to repay all this. To repay all the great debts of generosity that we have received. The great debts that you owe by way of the love that we have received. How do we repay this? Swami may not be with us in his physical form. But that doesn't mean that Swami is not here. He is always, he is eternal, he is infinite, he is omnipresent, he is everywhere. It is like a lamp. The lamp is broken, but the light is there. You cannot see the lamp, but the light that the lamp has shed is enveloping us. It is like a musical instrument. Now you cannot see the musical instrument, but the music is pervading all of us, is pervading here. The instrument cannot be seen, but the music that the instrument is creating envelops all of us. It is like a flower, a wonderfully fragrant flower. You cannot see the plant or flower anymore, but the fragrance is all around. So he is here. He's listening to everything that what we say. Not only what we say, he is listening to what we think. He knows what you are going to think. He is with us in our past, in our present, in our future, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our very thoughts, he is there. So how do we repay all the debts? He doesn't want anything back. But we have a debt to pay. Because he has given everything that he had. There is nothing that he has kept for himself. There is nothing that he wanted for himself. Whatever he had, he gives in abundance. And how do we repay this abundance? We small little human beings, how do we repay this abundance? Is it possible to repay this abundance, this generosity? I think the time has come for us to repay this. There are two missions that Swami has left us to complete. And that missions can never be fully complete. What are these two missions? One is a mission to purify the heart, operation purification of heart. And the second is his most favored saying, love all, serve all. Now these are interrelated things. If you have to love all and serve all, the first purification of the heart has to be complete. And how do we purify our heart? I have devised a small test which all of us are doing without calling it a test. That is a Swami test. What is a Swami test? It is very simple. I think that is the only way to purify our heart. The Swami test asks three simple questions. When we are going to do something, just ask, would Swami approve of this? That is a Swami test. When you are going to do something, ask yourself, would this make Swami happy? What I am going to do, is it going to make him happy? Would it have made him happy? Would he approve this? And thirdly, we also ask, does he expect this from me? If he disapproves, he doesn't expect you to do these things, don't do it. If it doesn't make him happy, don't do it. If Swami doesn't approve this, don't do it. I think every thought, every action, every deed that we will do in our lives will be transformed magically if only we are able to ask these questions before we take up anything, before we decide anything, whether I am deciding on a file or whether we are deciding on a project or whether we are deciding on a relationship or whether we are deciding on any other important aspects in our life or anybody else's life, before we take any decision, before we make a decision, before we talk, before we commit, can we ask this question, will this make my Swami happy? If yes, do it. Will this get the approval of Swami? If yes, do it. Does he expect me to do this? Yes, go ahead and do it. If you succeed in these three tests, I'm sure Swami will be happy. And through this kind of decision making, this purificatory decision making, I'm sure our thoughts and actions would be pure day by day. And that is the process of purification of the heart. Unless our hearts are purified, made sacred by pure thoughts and pure action, then only we become eligible to take up the second task, that is love all and serve all. After all, it is only from a pure heart that we can love. That is a kind of selfless love. Love coming out of an impure heart is selfish love. Swami doesn't want that kind of love. He wants selfless love. Love all, serve all. Service has to be extended from a selfless heart. A selfless love. And how does the selfless love come? The selfless love comes from a pure heart. And what is this impurity we are talking about? The impurity of selfishness. That is all that, I think there is only one impurity that our heart can incur. And that is the impurity of selfishness. When Swami says, love all, serve all, first he presumes that your ego, the ego wall that protects us, or rather makes us distinct from other person, should be demolished. Like the Berlin Wall, that wall has to go. By pure thoughts, the ego wall will diminish itself. Swami set an example. In every action, he did not think how that action is going to benefit him. He only thought how my action is going to benefit the other. Now that is the kind of egolessness that we have to achieve. And we don't have to go far for getting an example. Look at Swami. Look at Swami, what he has done. Every action, every major decision he has taken is not for him, but for others. But where are we? Where are we? Out of 100 decisions we take a day, 99 or 98 or 97 would be for ourselves, isn't it? And if at all we decide for others, we would think in what way I am going to be benefited by this decision, even if it is for someone else. Let us look at Swami. Did he ever think of himself? That is a Swami test. Whatever decision you take, just ask, will Swami approve this? Yes. If you get an imaginary note in your mind, in your heart, if you hear a voice, go ahead fully, the world will be with you. That is the kind of Swami test that I would request all of us, I'm not saying that you should do it, all of us, I think, should be able to practice this kind of test. I'm sure most of you might be practicing already. And what is the mission in front of us? We are all fortunate. We are all fortunate because we have seen the most beautiful divine form with our own eyes. We have touched the most beautiful divine form with our hands. We have heard the most beautiful voice speaking to us. We have seen divinity in human form in these very premises. Are we not fortunate? Hundreds of people, thousands of people who have missed that opportunity. Are we not fortunate? Are we not blessed? Has not Swami showered his abundant grace on us so that we could have come here, we could have seen him, we could have touched him, we could have heard the divine voice. And the divine voice will be with us till our last breath. And we are fortunate to have touched him. Because we are blessed and fortunate, as I said, we owe something back to humanity. And that service has to be selfless. This hallowed spot is going to be the fountainhead of a worldwide revolution of love. It has to be the worldwide revolution of love has to emanate from this place. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. That is all what he dreamt always. The Vedas that are recited here. After all, I'm not a Vedic scholar, but what do the Vedas ultimately talk about? It talks about two things. One is about shanti. Shanti for all, not for the person who chants it. Shanti for all. Then it also talks about not the individuals, but let us all be together. It is a togetherness that is the message of the Veda. It is not one person. Let us be together. Let us walk together. Let us be together. It is a togetherness, and the togetherness is that abiding shanti. I think that is the mandate before us. That is the duty before us. Let us be together like pearls which have been brought together through a thread. The thread of Swami's thought. Swami is the thread that will bind us all together in love. And in that love, let us go ahead, go forth to the world, and with a selfless heart, purified with divine love, render our services with a pure heart, with the blessings of the Swami, and then only Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu prayer will come true. Today, Malayalis all over the world are celebrating Onam. Onam has lot of meanings and manifestations. But I think Onam is essentially a day of remembrance. Mahabali remembers, as the story goes, Mahabali remembers his subjects, so he comes back. People in Kerala remember Mahabali, therefore we decorate our courtyards and our minds and hearts to receive him. Parents remember their children, therefore they expect them to come back. And children from far off remember their parents, so they go back. We remember our Swami, we come back. He was our Mata Pita, Guru Sakha, Bandhu, everybody, everything. He was everything. So we have come back. Today is a day of remembrance. And therefore, Onam also has a message not only of remembrance, but of worldwide brotherhood. Let us remember. After all, service has to begin from remembrance. So let us remember the person next door. Let us remember the needy man who comes in front of us. After all, without remembrance, without memory, there is no service. Therefore, Onam has a message of remembrance. And from remembrance, let us start the great saga of another age of service, which will from the fountainhead of Swami's memory. And Swami's memory is eternal. Swami's presence is eternal. He is with us all the time. And knowing that He knows every thought of yours, let us start this second wave of love revolution, revolution of love and service in the world, so that Swami conquers the world. Thank you very much, and I wish you all a very happy one. Bye.
Saram to you all. We'll see you next week.
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.